we're in chapter 13, right? Chapter 13. We almost finished it up, not quite. So we're going to finish up chapter 13. And the study guide, this is going to be page, let's see what page we're on. We're on page 69, I think. Page 69. So we almost finished up there, but I didn't want to rush through it at the end there because I think there's a couple things we can talk about that that will hopefully be edifying here from what we've been learning. So we've learned basically that the Sabbath was very important, right? The Sabbath was very important to the Jewish people, and it turned out to be a point of conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees over, you know, they thought Jesus wasn't observing it correctly, but of course he was. And we said Sabbath means rest. So that was a big thing on the Sabbath day. You weren't supposed to do any work, right? And so we said, what, you know, just summarizing what we spent the last couple weeks talking about, what was the point of this Sabbath then? I mean, what does this all lead us to? Why was the Sabbath a big deal? Why is it a big deal, I guess, but that's the second part of the question. God says, I like Kathy's answer, right? Well, because of what?
Well, because it's a gift. Actually, it's a gift.
Yes, it's a gift.
From God.
Yes.
The Sabbath to us, mm-hmm. in commemoration of all, you know, God's creation.
Yes.
And then God rested,
mm-hmm.
and that is a gift,
right,
that he is giving to us.
Very good. You kind of got into the second part of the question there, too. But really, that's what creation week culminates with, right? It culminates with the day of rest. So, I mean, you know, it's all kind of building up to that. And as Mom just said, it's a gift to us. And the rest points us to Jesus, right? Jesus is the Sabbath rest. And as we started the chapter with, is why he started it that way. That's really kind of the whole point, because every of one of the man-made religions is not a religion of rest. It's a religion of works, right? Rather than God creating and doing the work and then we rest in him, it's all the other religions are saying, do these good works. So really the third commandment, as we would number it, in the book, you number it the fourth. But that is really vitally important to understanding everything, because it's very unique amongst the commandments in that it's directly really a gospel thing here, isn't it? It's really about Jesus saying, remember the Sabbath, because Jesus is going to fulfill all of this. So it's extremely important. So rather than this Sabbath, you know, people who are very kind of legalistic about the Sabbath, they would say, well, you guys aren't taking it seriously. Well, it's actually completely the opposite. We're trying to take it very seriously because we think this is all about Jesus and telling us what God has done for us. So we talked about that a little bit last week. And we said it's different because when you look at the Ten Commandments, all of the Ten Commandments are reiterated like that. You should still be not doing or doing these things in the New Testament, except for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the only one where you won't find anything in the New Testament that says you must stop doing all your work on Saturday. Okay? You don't see that in the New Testament. We didn't read this last week, but we probably should have. So we're going to go to, we're going to read a verse, and it actually ties into, the next chapter too, but let's see, it was in the book here. Yeah, it's in the book on page 122, but certainly you can look it up, as I always say, in your own Bible as well. It's Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Okay, because again, a lot of this stuff was an issue in the New Testament church as more Gentiles were converted. There was kind of this rift, you know, between some of the Jewish believers who said, no, you know, okay, the Gentiles can come in, but they've got to basically be Jews. They got to do stuff like the Jews do. And eventually it said, no, they don't have to. Okay, and Paul kind of led the charge for that, even though he was, you know, trained as a Pharisee. He has some credential here. He's saying, hey, I'm a Pharisee, but this is, you guys have this wrong. And even stood up to Peter. You know, Peter was kind of pushing some of this, and Paul said, no, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. We need to welcome them as our brothers. All right, so somebody, if they would, read either from the book or their Bible, Colossians 2, 16 and 17, which is, of course, one of Paul's letters, his letter to the church at Colossae. Go ahead, Dick.
Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Okay, I'm going to write that up on the board, this address here, because I think this is a very important couple of verses here. So hopefully you're listening to what he said there. It says, no one is to act as your judge in regard to what? Food or drink. What's the next thing? Festivals. We're going to talk about that tonight, too, in the next chapter. And then what's the third thing?
Sabbath
day. Okay, so right here, you know, scriptural authority is saying no one should look down on you and say you've got to do this way in regards to what you're eating, to what festivals you're celebrating, or the Sabbath day. And furthermore, Dick, what did you read? Why?
Their substance belongs to Christ.
Yeah. These were, what's our words, really, like types and shadows. It says shadow there. These things were simply a shadow. They were pointing us to the real thing that came in Jesus, right? I mean, again, you know, you only need one clear verse in the Bible, but I think this is like pretty much right in the wheelhouse, isn't it? It's answering all of those objections that the Pharisees, that some of the New Testament church, and even some today will say, isn't it? It's saying, you don't have to do any of this stuff because it all pointed to Jesus, and Jesus was the real thing. He was the substance, right? So isn't that a great couple of verses? So if anybody ever challenges you on that, say, well, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and see what God's word has to say about that. I mean, I think that pretty much summarizes all this that we've been talking about in a pretty couple of ironclad verses. Again, I don't know how how else are you going to interpret this? I don't know. You know, there are some we can wrangle about. I mean, this seems pretty black and white, doesn't it, here on the issue? So any other questions or comments on that before we move to the next thing that I kind of left as a teaser last week at the end? Go ahead. Did you have something to say with it? No? Okay. All right. But this all sounds great, but just like a lot of things where God gives us liberty, can people abuse that liberty? Yeah. Yes, they can. Someone look up Hebrews 4:25. I don't think he quotes the whole verse in the book, but someone read Hebrews 4:25 for us. Oh, am I in the wrong? I gave you the wrong address? Well, that's embarrassing. Whenever I do something like this, I'm going to blame it on COVID. It made me forget. So I'm going to blame it. That's going to be my scapegoat. We're going to talk about the scapegoat later.
Where's the Holy Spirit when you need him?
He exists. Well, all right, hold on. Now that we're in Hebrews, at least, let me find this. 10:25, I'm sorry. 10:25. Had some of the numbers right. Hebrews 10:25. Let me put it up here. Yeah, the right verse number, not the right chapter. I apologize. Okay, 10:25.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay, I'm going to read to you Luther's meaning of the third commandment as well, short and sweet. What does this mean? We should fear and love God, as he always starts out his meanings of the commandments, that we should not despise preaching of his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Okay, so I think that connects there to Hebrews 10:25, okay, because say, oh, we have liberty. This Sabbath thing, it's taken care of. So I don't have to go to church, right? Okay, so we say, well, if there's no Sabbath commandment, why are we sad we didn't get together the last couple weeks? Okay, you don't have to do it. Well, what's the answer then?
could look at it as every day is a Sabbath.
That's right. That's right. I think Kent nicely summarized that for us last week, that when is the Sabbath for the New Testament Christian? All the time. I'm going to put, how about that? Constant Sabbath. Okay? Constant Sabbath in terms of spiritually anyway. Okay, because we are, you know, we are always should be resting assured in Jesus, right? Okay, again, not abusing our liberty, but rightly understanding that. So apparently this was already a problem in the New Testament church too, because God saw fit to describe it in Hebrews that some early Christians weren't going to church. They said they're Christians, but they weren't gathering together with the saints. Or else, why would that be in there? Because he says, as is the habit of some or the practice of some. So I'm sure there were people running around then saying, okay, great. Yeah, we read Colossians. We don't have to go to church anymore. Okay? But this is just a, no, wrong answer, right? And your buzzer, wrong answer. And Luther addresses it in there. The difference is it tied to a specific, like, hour of the day? Does it have to be 11 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning or 6:15 Wednesday night? No. Okay, but why do we get together on Sunday then? I mean, we if we don't have to, because we could get together on Saturday if we wanted to, but we could get together on Wednesday if we want, or Friday. Why has the practice of the early church been Sunday? Since really scriptural times, it says they were gathering on this day. Resurrection is number one, right? I mean, what better day as Christians to get together? So really, every Sunday is a mini celebration of Easter, of the resurrection. Okay? I mean, that's a good day for Christians to get together. Secondly, if we are now being seen more as Christians rather than just Jews who follow this certain rabbi, that creates a demarcation, right, between Judaism and Christianity. And thirdly, if God is the most important thing in our life, what's the first day of the week? Sunday. So the first thing we do every week is you wake up. Well, you might comb your hair or something, but, you know, basically the first main thing you're going to do is come to the Lord's house and worship with his people. What signal does that send? It says this is important. If this is the first thing I do every week, okay? And is an act of, say, witness, because you're not actually maybe speaking the gospel, but when, you know, your neighbors see you getting up and going to church in the morning when they're kind of rolling out of bed in the bathrobe and, you know, maybe getting the newspaper in the old days or getting the boat ready to go to the lake. And you're like, well, you know, wow, okay, they do take their religion seriously because they're getting up in the morning, you know, and they're going, you know, getting dragging the kids out of the house and stuff. So it's for those reasons, Sunday's a great day to get together. Question or comment? Okay, I thought you had your hand up here. So, all right. No, he's just moving it, so you got to watch out. So Sunday's a great day to get together. Do we have to? No. I think, Mom, you shared this story before in Minnesota, right? What did one of the churches that you were involved with do?
It was in the evening. They had a Saturday.
Saturday evening service. In the summertime only, right?
Right, because in Minnesota, the summer is extremely short. People have to take it very seriously. And so Sunday, they were at the lake or doing whatever. And so they had the service on Saturday night.
Sure. And I mean, that's something a church could debate. Well, is that a good thing or not for us to do this? But my point is, it's not sinful if you're going to meet on Saturday night. I've seen multiple churches, especially larger churches, sometimes they'll have like a Saturday evening service. You know, and not just the lake. Some people have to work on Sundays. They will quit their job and get another job. Okay. But I mean, that's being a little bit legalistic, you know? I mean, you know, God wants our first ministry is to our family, right? So if you are in a season of your life where you may have that type of job, you know, then, you know, that's nice to have that opportunity. Now I'd say maybe, you know, hopefully you can not do that your whole life, have to work on Sunday morning, but you don't have to feel like, you know, I've lost my salvation or something. If I have to, the only way I can feed my family right now is, you know, I'm required to work, right? That's legalism. Okay, so Sunday's a great time to get together. It's just not demanded, nor is Saturday. Again, you know, usually the folks you run into are like Seventh-day Adventists, you know, that are very dogmatic about that. But there's even some of these kind of people, they're usually not even Jews, but they kind of like, they try to be Jews. You know, they want to be Jews or whatever. Let's follow all the Old Testament laws, you know. And the great is like, well, okay, you know, it's, I don't know what the attraction is, but, you know, hey. So it's not a legalistic thing because our Sabbath is constant in Jesus, but that doesn't mean we just don't get together with each other. Okay, this is an important part of being a Christian, is gathering together for corporate worship. I mean, Christianity is a religion that is lived out in the family, the body of Christ. It's not an individualistic religion. Okay, oh, here's a good one. Well, then, what about Chick-fil-A? What about Hobby Lobby? Those are the two big ones. I think they're like major chains are closed on Sundays. Okay. What about that then if we've just learned there's not like a, you know, well, we've learned the true nature of the Sabbath. Okay. Question or comment?
Well, just being the oldest person here, I remember when stores were not open on Sundays.
Yes.
You could not buy a car on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think that was good. I think they were saying that y'all ought to be going to church.
Yeah. And I was talking to Michelle's father about this one time, and you know, they grew up in North Dakota where it's cold. And he says as a child, he remembers going to church on a horse-drawn sleigh through the snow. And when they got there, like their faces all red and frozen, but they were in church Sunday morning. Hardcore. Okay. I said, you probably got a kick out of us canceling church for an inch of snow then. Right. You know, but you know, see, the point is, I mean, you know, it is a serious thing. It's not something we blow off. Okay. So, okay. I think that's a good answer. So I think as long as now, and again, a little history, there is a history. They called them blue laws in this country. And they were laws that forbade certain activities on the Sabbath. Okay? Until, I don't remember the exact year, but it was in the last 10 years, you could not buy alcohol in a store on Sunday in Georgia. We were, I think, one of Indiana and Georgia were like, I don't know if Indiana still has it or not.
No, I think
they got rid of it too. They were the last domino to fall.
Yeah. No. Until
12:30
or something.
Yeah. It is still like 12:30 or something like that.
Not
you know.
All day.
Yeah, it's not all day.
After church.
Yeah. After church. We do a little compromise here, right? And it's basically in Georgia, it's up to the local community. So there are still some communities that don't, but it's basically there's no state prohibition. And that was a blue law. Well, why couldn't you buy it on Sunday? Because it was the Sabbath, right? Okay. And there were laws like this about closing businesses and stuff, actually, on the books. So I think that's the wrong motivation, though. Okay, that is kind of a legalistic, you know, you're going to make everybody do this no matter what. Even when George had that law, there were more loopholes in it than Swiss cheese. I mean, you could go to the NASCAR race and the Falcons game and buy a beer, you know, but you couldn't go into the Golden Pantry. So it's like, well, you know, it's either you have it or you don't. That's how I look at it. It's like, you know, why do we have all these exceptions to certain groups that give a lot of money probably to politicians, you know? And so the point is, that, okay, I'm not quite as familiar with Hobby Lobby, but I have no reason to believe their reasoning is any different. I know Chick-fil-A because I've read certain statements that they've said about this. Why do they close on Sunday?
Give their employees this time to go to church.
Okay, go to church. Have rest, be with their families. Is that what you were going to say, Kent? Uh-huh. I've never seen them or Hobby Lobby say, we close on Sunday because we have to. We have to, and it's sinful to eat a chicken sandwich that somebody else makes on Sunday because that's work. You know, if they were Pharisees. So, I mean, I think if that's your motivation, that's great. I mean, I think it's great they do. I mean, they, on paper, you know, I'm sure God has something to do with this, but on paper, that seems like the dumbest business decision ever, especially for a fast food place, right? I mean, you're losing a whole day of business. A lot of people on the weekends eat out, especially. One story with this, too many rabbit trails, but a fellow pastor that was in my new mentoring, pastor new mentoring, he said there was a guy, and he's from Alabama, and they had he had a barbecue place in somewhere, I forget the name of the town. But, I mean, and this was like the best barbecue place ever. I mean, people would line up when he was open to get it. But he would, like, close it on, I think he closed on Sundays, but I know he closed on, like, major holidays. And so, like, on the 4th of July, when people are wanting barbecue, he was closed. And he said he asked him about it one time. He's like, you're crazy. Why are you closing your business on, like, you can make so much money. And he said, the guy told him, he's like, well, you know, it's like, I don't need to work all the time. How much more money do I need, you know? And it's like, well, okay, he has a point. I mean, if he can pay the bills. So my point is Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby seem to be doing just fine, you know, without opening on Sunday. So I think if that's the motivation, that's a gospel motivation. Okay, we're doing this for the betterment of our employees. So I would say, hey, if you have a business and you can finance, you know, you can do it. I wouldn't say you have to close your business on Sunday if you're a Christian. If you can do it, great, go for it. I would encourage it. Okay, but I'm not going to say you have to. Okay, that you're sinning somehow because then I'm becoming like the Pharisees, you know, in doing that. Okay, so as far as I know, their motivation is good for that, and I think it's definitely commendable that they're, you know, putting those things above profit, the bottom line thing, you know, and this I think gets to the whole root of what does Sabbath mean? Rest. This was a gift to God's people. There's always wisdom in what God does. Sometimes we don't understand it. Okay, but this one I think is pretty obvious. As human beings, is it beneficial, for us to rest? Yes. So and so this again, God is giving this great gift to his people to rest. And you know, I think again, while we're not under the law anymore, the principles of the law are still beneficial, even if it's not binding. So this idea of, you know, Kent went out and played golf today. Now you did some work walking, so Pharisees probably wouldn't like that. But did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Was it relaxing?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I think it's healthy that we have some of that time and some of those activities as our Sabbath rest. Does it not always, again, does it mean you have to shut everything down Sunday and then the rest of the week you're just going full blast? No, it might be. Maybe you have more time on a Wednesday, you know, afternoon or something, or morning. Okay, so again, this is, you know, I'm still trying to learn this lesson because I work all the time, you know, so I'm preaching to myself here. But, you know, since I started having some of these issues with my health last year, I'm trying to do better in that. Am I doing better, Shoshana? Okay, all right, she'll tell the truth. You know, I'm still probably not where I need to be, but I mean, there's certain things like, okay, if that doesn't get done today, okay, I need to, you know, hey, I got a good deal on tickets to this football game. We're gonna go. We're gonna go and enjoy it. Okay, I'm gonna sit here and watch TV for half an hour instead of pounding away, you know, for another hour from 1:30 a.m. to 2 a.m. on the computer. Okay, so I'm trying to do better. Okay, but that's healthy. Okay, so God, that's the other part of this is that, you know, the worship aspect. Yes, we need to have, you know, our rear ends in church Sunday morning. That's right. Okay, however. Then what about the rest part of it? Don't forget about that either, because that is, again, not legalistic way, but in a Chick-fil-A way, we'll say, okay? That, you know, let's rest, let's give people a day off, and you can go to church, you can spend time with your family, things like that. And I think, as you said, there might have been some bad legalism attached to some of that stuff, but yeah, I think it also was healthy, wasn't it, for our society, okay?
Well, I think even just saying, well, why are you closed on Sunday? Because Sunday's a day of
rest. Right. And I'll tell you, this was years ago. The youth group did a car wash at Chick-fil-A. You remember that? This is a long time ago. This is, I think, when maybe Tyler was in youth group. And they let churches use their facility for a car wash because they're not open, right? I bet there were a dozen people that walked up to that Chick-fil-A while we were there and pulled on the door. And I think most of them, as soon as they pulled on the door, they're like, ah, you know, and they remembered it's Sunday, you know. But I mean, it's like, because it's shocking. Okay, I want a chicken sandwich. I'm going to go get one. And it's closed. Okay. So I thought that was hopefully some useful, practical stuff for us to talk about that we're not falling into to either ditch there. Any other questions or comments on that? And then we'll go through, make sure we got the last few questions here. But I think we've covered most of that. Anything else? All right. So questions, where do we leave off here? If we don't have to keep the Sabbath, why do we go to church on Sunday? Well, we already answered that. Hebrews 10:25 is a good reference for that. It states, Jesus' yoke was so light that most people hate him for it. Oh, man. Why? What did we learn about people? We try to do one of two things, suppress the truth and unrighteousness, or we try to do what? Well, work it off, right? So people, believe it or not, I mean, it's kind of shocking to us Christians, but some people don't like that message that they don't have to do anything to earn their salvation. They want to earn it. This plan sounds good over here. I'm going to go with that.
But they want to earn it their way.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I
of
mean,
course,
it's,
right.
It's a lot easier to just do something, let's say go to church, mm-hmm. than it is to try to help yeah. somebody yeah. that's in need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we can be guilty of that, or, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. I mean, everybody here is regular churchgoers. You know, it's not like, okay, we've got this, you know, cosmic tally sheet God has in the, you know, we're getting gold stars every Sunday, you know, if we're here, okay? He's happy we're here, but yeah, we don't want to hold that over other people's head and then we're neglecting other things, okay? And this can happen in other areas too, like sometimes it happens with giving. People are like, well, I give so much money to church. They don't give anything. Look how great I am, you know? So we don't want to do any of that stuff. Good point. What does God mean that he resists the proud? Well, just that, those who cling stubbornly and zealously, he says, to their own natural bent of self-righteousness. Okay, until we admit we are sinners, we are closing ourselves off to God's grace. Again, I like to say, what's the first step in solving a problem is admitting you have a problem. Okay, right?
Yep.
Okay, if you can't admit you even have the problem, then you're probably not going to really look for change, are you? Okay? How does a person receive this rest? Well, through repentance and faith, right? We repent of our sins. God forgives us. We have faith in Christ. Then we have that true, constant Sabbath. Okay? That does not come without repentance and faith. All right? So we've seen clearly that this is not a fable for all of these reasons we talked about. And the Sabbath day really points us in a very real way to all this. Now, we're not going to do the, as for further question studies, you can do some of those on your own if you want. I think we talked about some of them, but I think we've got, you know, enough meat here for the chapter. All right, so that concludes chapter 13. So, without any further questions or comments, let's go to chapter 14, which I also found